Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th hour apostolic Sabbatarian congregation on the 12th hour. And the orientation today is May the 19th, 2024, or the Sibian at 12:20:28. We will start up first service on this Pentecost day for the sound showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessings. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from the suffering. Look for the showers we claim. This should be showers of blessing. Precious we live in a jam. Over the hills and the valleys. Sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from the suffering. Good for the showers we pray. There should be showers of blessing. Send it upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now refreshing. Come in the heart of the whole world. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops from the suffering. Good for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings. Oh, that today they might fall, as the Yahweh confessing. Now, yes, where we call, showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops around us appalling. Our sermon will be taken from Acts of the Apostles, by Ellen G. White. We're on chapter 4, entitled Pentecost, page 35. And so we're going to do our first study from that. It says, as the disciple departed. Once again, this is a subject of the Pentecost, as the disciples returned from the Olivet to Jerusalem. The people looked on them, expecting to see on their faces expressions of the sorrow, confusion, and defeat, that they saw their gladness and triumph, for the disciples did not now mourn over the disappointed hopes, for they had seen the risen Savior and the words of his parting promise echoed constantly in their ears. In the obedience unto Yahshua's command, they waited in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. For the outpouring of the Spirit, they did not wait in the idleness. The record says that they were continually in the temple praising and blessing the Yahweh. They also met together to present their request to the Father in the name of the Yahshua, for they knew that they had a representative in heaven and an advocate at the throne of the Yahweh, and the solemn awe they bowed in prayer and repeating the assurance. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And that name is Yahshua. Heretofore have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Higher and still higher they extended the hand of the faith with a mighty argument. It is Yahshua that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, Yahweh, who also maketh intercession for us. As the disciples waited for the fulfillment of the promise, they humbled their hearts in the true repentance and confessed their unbelief. As they called to remembrance the words that Yahshua had spoken unto them before his death, they understood more fully their meaning. For the truth which had passed from their memory were again brought to their mind, and these they repeated to one another. They reproached themselves for their misapprehension of the Savior, like a procession of scene after scene of his wonderful life passed before them, as they meditated upon his pure, holy life. They felt that no toil would be too hard, no sacrifice too great, if only they could hear witness in their lives, or bear witness in their lives, to the lovingness of Yahshua's character. Oh, if they could but have the past 3 years to live over, they thought how differently they would act if they could only see the Master again. How earnestly they would strive to show him how deeply they loved him, and how sincerely they sorrowed for having ever grieved him by a word or an act of unbelief. But they were comforted by the thought that they were forgiven, and they determined that so far as possible they would atone for their unbelief by the bravely confessing him before the world. For the disciples prayed with intense earnestness for a fitness to meet men, and in their daily intercourse to speak words that would lead sinners unto Yahshua, putting away all differences, all desire for the supremacy. They came close together on in their Christian fellowship. They drew nearer and nearer unto the Father Yahweh, and as they did this, they realized what a privilege had been theirs and been permitted to associate so closely with the Yahshua. Sadness filled their hearts as they thought of how many times they had grieved him by the slowness of the comprehension, their failure to understand the lesson that for their good he was trying to teach them. These days of the preparation were days of the deep heart searching. The disciples felt their spiritual need and cried unto the Yahweh for the holy unction that was to fit them for the work of the soul saving. They did not ask for a blessing for themselves. Merely, they were weighted with the burden of the salvation of the souls. They realized that the gospel was to be carried to the world, and they claimed the power that the Yahshua had promised. During the patriarchal age, the influence of the Holy Spirit had often been revealed in a marked manner, but never in its form. Now, in the obedience to the word of the Savior, the disciples offered their supplication for this gift, and in heaven, Yahshua added his intercession. He claimed the gift of the Spirit that he might pour it upon his people. And when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with the one accord in the one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. For the Spirit came upon the waiting, praying disciples with a fullness that reached every heart. For the Infinite One revealed Himself and the power unto His church. It was as if for ages this influence had been held in a restraint, and now heaven rejoiced in the being able to pour out upon the church the riches of the Spirit, grace, and with the influence of the Spirit, words of the penitence and confession mingle with the songs of the praise for sins forgiven, words of the thanksgiving and of the prophecies were heard. All heaven bent low to behold and to adore the wisdom of the matchless, incomprehensible love. Lost in the wonder, the apostle exclaimed, "Herein is love." For they grasped the imparted gift, and what followed for the sword of the Spirit, newly edged with the power and bathed in the lightnings of the heaven, cut its way through the unbelief. Thousands were converted in a day. It is expedient for you that I go away. Yahshua has said unto his disciples, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he, the Spirit of the truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. For the Yahshua's ascension to heaven was the signal that his followers were to receive the promised blessing. For this, they were to wait before they entered up on their work. When the Yahshua passed within the heavenly gates, he was enthroned amidst the adoration of the angel. As soon as this ceremony was completed, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples in a rich current, and Yahshua was indeed glorified, even with the glory that she had with the Father from all eternity. For the Pentecostal outpouring was heaven's communication that the Redeemer's inauguration was accomplished according unto his promise. He has sent his Holy Spirit from heaven unto his followers as a token that he had, as the priest and king, received all authority in heaven and on earth, and was the anointed one over his people. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of the fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit, assuming the form of the tongues of fire, rested upon those assembled. This was an emblem of the gift then bestowed on the disciples, which enabled them to speak with the fluency the languages with which they had hitherto been unacquainted. For the appearance of the fire signified the fervent zeal with which the apostles would labor and the power that would attend their work. They were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. During the dispersion, the Jews had been scattered to almost every part of the inhabited world, and in their exile, they had learned to speak the various languages. Many of these Jews were on the occasion in Jerusalem, attending the religions or the religious festival, then in the progress, every known town was represented by those assembled. For the diversity of the languages would have been a great hindrance for the proclamation of the gospel. For the Yahweh, therefore, in a miraculous manner, supplied the deficiency of the apostles. For the Holy Spirit did for them that which they could not have accomplished for themselves in a lifetime. They could now proclaim the truth of the gospel abroad, speaking with the accuracy the languages of those for whom they were laboring. This miraculous gift was a strong evidence to the world that their commission bore the signet of heaven. From this time forth, the language of the disciples was pure, simple, and accurate, whether they spoke in their native tongue or in a foreign language. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" For the priests and the rulers were greatly enraged at this wonderful manifestation, but they dared not give way to their malice for the fear of exposing themselves unto the violence of the people. They had put the Nazarene to death, and here were his servants unlettered men of Galilee, telling in all the languages then spoken the story of his life and ministry. For the priests determined to account for the miraculous power of the disciples in some natural way, declared that they were drunken from the partaking largely of the new wine prepared for the feast. Some of the most ignorant of the people present seized upon this suggestion as the truth, but the more intelligent knew it to be false, and those who understood the different languages testified to the accuracy with which these languages were used by the disciples. In answer to the accusation of the priest, Peter showed that this demonstration was in the direct fulfillment of the prophecy of the Joel, wherein he foretold that such power would come upon men to fit them for a special work. The men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, he said, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yahweh, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. With the clearness and power, Peter bore witness of the death and resurrection of the Yahshua. The men of Israel, hear these words. Yahshua the Nazareth, as a man approved of the Yahweh among you by the miracles and wonders and signs which Yahweh did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know him, you have taken and by their wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom Yahweh hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Peter did not refer to the teachings of Yahshua to prove his position, because he knew that the prejudice of his hearers was so great that his words on this subject would be of no effect. Instead, he spoke to them of the David who was regarded by the Jews as one of the patriarchs of their nation. David speaketh concerning her, he declared. He said, I foresaw Yahshua always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. He spake of the resurrection of Yahshua, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Yahshua hath Yahweh raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. This scene is one full of interest. Behold, the people coming from all directions to hear the disciples witness to the truth as it is in Yahshua. They are pressed in, crowding the temple. Priests and rulers are there, the dark scowl of the malignity still on their faces, their hearts still filled with the abiding hatred against Yahshua, their hands unclenched from the blood shed when they crucified their world Redeemer, they had thought to find the apostles cowered with fear under the strong hand of the oppression and murder, but they find them lifted above all fear and filled with the Spirit, proclaiming with the power of the divinity of Yahshua of Nazareth. They hear them declaring with the boldness that the one so recently humiliated, derided, smitten by a cruel hand, and crucified is the Prince of Life, now exalted to the right hand of the Yahweh. Some of those who listened to the apostle had taken an active part in this condemnation and death of Yahshua. Their voices had mingled with the rabble in calling for his crucifixion. When Yahshua and Barabbas stood before them in the judgment hall, and Pilate asked, "Whom were you that I released unto you?" They had shouted, "Not this man, but Barabbas." When Pilate delivered Yahshua unto them, saying, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. I am innocent of the blood of this just person." They had cried, "His blood be on us and on our children." Now they heard the disciples declaring that it was the Son of Yahweh who had been crucified. Priests and rulers trembled. Conviction and anguish seized the people. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Among those who were listening to the disciples were devout Jews who were sincere in their belief. For the power that accompanied the words of the speaker convinced them that Yahshua was indeed the Messiah. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahshua, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yahweh our Father shall call." Peter urged home upon the convicted people the fact that they had rejected Yahshua because they had been deceived by the priests and rulers, and that if they continued to look to these men for counsel and wait for them to acknowledge Yahshua before they dared to do so, they would never accept him. These powerful men, though, making a profession of godliness, were ambitious for the earthly riches and glory. They were not willing to come unto Yahshua to receive light. With the influence of this heavenly illumination, the scripture that Yahshua had explained to the disciples stood out before them with the luster of the perfect truth. The veil that had prevented them from seeing unto the end of that which had been abolished was now removed, and they comprehended with the perfect clearness the object of the Yahshua's mission and the nature of his kingdom. They could speak with the power of the Savior, and as they unfolded to their hearers the plan of the salvation, many were convicted and convinced. The traditions and superstitions implemented by the priests were swept away from their minds, and the teachings of the Savior were accepted. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. For the Jewish leaders had supposed that the work of Yahshua would end with his death, but instead of this, they witnessed the marvelous scenes of the day of the Pentecost. They heard the disciples on, endowed with the power and energy hitherto unknown, preaching Yahshua. Their words confirmed by the signs and wonders in Jerusalem, the stronghold of Judaism. Thousands openly declared their faith in the Yahshua of the Nazareth as the Messiah. For the disciples were astonished and overjoyed at the greatness of the harvest of the soul. They did not regard this wonderful ingathering as a result of their own effort. They realized that they were entering into other men's labors. Ever since the fall of the Adam, Yahshua had been committing to chosen servants the seed of his word. To be sown in the human heart. During his life on this earth, he had sown the seed of the truth and had watered it with his blood. For the conversions that took place on the day of the Pentecost were the result of the sowing for the harvest of the Yahshua's work, revealing of the power of his teaching. For the arguments of the apostles alone, though clear and convincing, would not have removed the prejudice that had withstood so much evidence. But the Holy Spirit sent the arguments home to the heart with the divine power. The words of the apostles were as sharp arrows of the Almighty, convicting the men of their terrible guilt and the rejecting and crucifying of this Yahshua of the glory. With the training of Yahshua, the disciples had been led to feed their need of the Spirit with the Spirit's teaching they receive the final qualification and went forth for their life work. No longer were they ignorant and uncultured. No longer were they a collection of the independent units or discordant, conflicting elements. No longer were their hopes set on their worldly greatness. They were of the one accord, of the one heart, and of the one mind, soul. That sure fell their thoughts, the advancement of his kingdom, where it was in mind and character, they had become light. Their master and men took knowledge of them that they had been with the Asher. For the Pentecost taught them the heavenly illumination, the truth they could not understand while the Yeshua was with them, were now unfolded with a faith assurance that they had never before known. They accepted the teachings of the sacred word. No longer was it a matter of the faith but them that the Yeshua was the Son of Yahweh. They knew that although clothed with humanity, he was indeed the Messiah, and they told their experience to the world with a confidence which carried with it the conviction that the Yahweh was with them. They could speak the name of the Yahshua with assurance, for was he not their friend and elder, brothers, brought and into close communion with the Asher. They sat with him in the heavenly places with what groaning language they clothed their ideas as they bore witness for him. Their hearts were surcharged with a benevolence so full, so deep, so far-reaching. They impelled them to go to the ends of the earth, testifying to the power of Yahshua. They were filled with an intense longing to carry forward the work that he had begun. They realized the greatness of their debt to heaven and the responsibility of their work, strengthened by the endowment of the Holy Spirit. They went forth filled with a zeal to extend the triumph of the cross. The Spirit animated them and spoke through them. The peace of Yahshua shone from their faces. They had consecrated their lives unto him for the service, and their very features bore evidence to the surrender they had made. This is the end of chapter 4. Chapter 5 is titled The Gift of the Spirit, and we have about 18 minutes left on this page. The Gift of the Spirit, chapter 5. When Yahshua gave his disciples the promise of the Spirit, he was nearing the close of his earthly ministry. He was standing in the shadow of the cross with the full realization of the load of the guilt that was to rest upon him as the sin bearer. Before offering himself as a sacrificial victim, he instructed his disciples regarding a most essential and complete gift which he was to bestow upon his followers, a gift that would bring within their reach the boundless resources of his grace. "I will pray the Father," he said, "and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Even the Spirit of the truth from the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. For the Savior was pointing forward unto the time when the Holy Spirit should come to do a mighty work as his representative. But the evil that had been accumulated for centuries was to be resisted by the divine power of the Holy Spirit. What was the result of the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of the Pentecost? The glad tidings of a risen Savior were carried unto the uttermost parts of the inhabited world as the disciples proclaimed a message of the redeeming grace, hearts yielded to the power of this message. For the church beheld converts flooding to her from all directions. Okay, it says them. Backsliders were converted. Sinners united with the believers. And seeking the pearl of the great price, some who had been the bitterest opponents of the gospel became its champions. For the prophecy was fulfilled: "He that is feeble shall be as the David, and the house of the David as the angel of the Yahweh." Every Christian saw in his brother a revelation of the divine love and benevolence. One interest prevailed. One subject of the emulation swallowed up all others. For the ambition of the believers was to reveal the likeness of the Yahshua's character, and the labor for the enlargement of his kingdom. With the great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Yahshua, and great grace was upon them all. With their labors were added unto the church chosen men who, receiving the word of the truth, consecrated their lives to the work of forgiving unto others the hope that filled their hearts with the peace and joy, they could not be restrained or intimidated by the threatenings, for the Yeshua spoke to them, and as they went from place to place, the poor had the gospel preached unto them, and miracles of the divine grace were wrought. So mightily can Yahweh work when men give themselves up unto the control of His Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is not limited to any age or to any race. For Yahshua declared that the divine influence of His Spirit was to be with His followers unto the end, from the day of the Pentecost to the present time. The Comforter has been sent unto all who have yielded themselves fully to the Yeshua and to His service. To all who have accepted the Yeshua as a personal Savior, the Holy Spirit has come as a counselor, sanctifier, guide, and witness. The more closely believers have walked with the Yahweh, the more clearly and powerfully have they testified of their Redeemer's love and of His saving grace. For the men and women who through the long centuries of the persecution and trial enjoyed a large measure of the presence of the Spirit in their lives, have stood as the signs and wonders in the world before the angels and men. They have revealed the transforming power of the redeeming love. Those who at the Pentecost were endued with the power from on high were not thereby freed from the further temptation and trial, as they witnessed for the truth and righteousness. They were repeatedly assailed by the enemy of all truth, who sought to rob them of their Christian experience. They were compelled to strive with all the Yahweh-given powers to reach the measure of the stature of men and women in the Yahshua. Daily they prayed for the fresh supplies of the grace, that they might reach a higher and still higher toward the perfection, with the Holy Spirit working even the weakest by the exercising faith in the blood of Yahshua of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 10:19-20, learn to improve their entrusted powers and to become sanctified, refined, and ennobled, as in the humility they submitted to the molding influence of the Holy Spirit. They received of the fullness of the Godhead and were fashioned in the likeness of the divine. For the lapse of the time has wrought no change in the Yahshua's parting promise to send the Holy Spirit as His representative. It is not because of any restriction on the part of the Yahweh that the riches of his grace do not flow earthward unto men. If the fulfillment of the promise is not soon, or is not seen as it might be, it is because the promise is not appreciated as it should be. If all were willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter of little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Whenever the minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power, which is necessary for the growth and prosperity of the church, and which would bring all other blessings in its train, is lacking, though offered in the infinite plenitude. Since this is a means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? For the Yeshua is more willing to give the Holy Spirit unto those who serve him than parents are to give good gifts unto their children. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition unto the Yahweh. Companies of Christian workers should gather to ask for the peace, special help for the heavenly wisdom, that they may know how to plan and execute wisely. Especially should they pray that the Yahweh will baptize his chosen ambassadors in the mission field with a rich measure of his Spirit. The presence of the Spirit with the Yahweh's workers will give the proclamation of the truth a power that not all the honor or glory of the world could give. With the consecrated worker for the Yahweh, and whatever phase he may be, the Holy Spirit abides. For the words spoken to the disciples are spoken also to us. For the Comforter is ours as well as theirs. For the Spirit furnishes the strength that sustains striving, resting souls in every emergency amidst the hatred of the world and the realization of their own failures and mistakes and the sorrow and affliction when the outlook seems dark and the future perplexing and we feel helpless and alone. Those are the times when in the answer for the prayer of the faith in the blood of Yahshua, the Holy Spirit brings comfort unto the heart. It is not a conclusive evidence that a man is a Christian because he manifests spiritual ecstasy with the extraordinary circumstances. For the holiness is not rapture. It is an entire surrender of the will unto the other. It is living by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. It is doing the will of our Heavenly Father. It is trusting Yahweh in the trial and the darkness, as well as in the light. It is walking by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10, 19, and 20. That is the new and living way, and not by sight. It is the relying on the Yahweh with the unquestionable, with unquestioned confidence, and resting in His law. It is not essential for us to be able to define just what the Holy Spirit is. For Yahshua tells us that the Spirit is the Comforter, the Spirit of the truth, which proceedeth from the Father. It is plainly declared regarding the Holy Spirit in the work of the guiding men into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. He says, for the nature of the Holy Spirit is a mystery. Men cannot explain it, because the Yahshua has not revealed it unto them. Men, having fanciful views, may bring together passages of the Scriptures and put a human construction on them, but the acceptance of these views will not strengthen the church regarding such mysteries, which are too deep for the human understanding. Silence.
Very deep he standeth then, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard not his sturdy cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, oh, what? Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I'll pay. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. God so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful love in service to Him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me. Souls in danger locked above, Yahshua completely saved. He will lift you by His love out of the angry wave. He's the master of the sea, devils His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. lifted me, love's lifted me, love's lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me.